You know, sometimes it's right in the middle of the toughest times, the absolute worst, that you see these incredible human connections form, unexpected bonds that last way, way longer than the event itself.
That's so true.
And today, we're doing a deep dive into a story that really hits that home. It's about a truly harrowing bright light mission back in Vietnam.
And the amazing connection that came out of it, but decades later.
Exactly. It's a story of courage, loss, and finding something meaningful much later on.
We're focusing today on the story told in episode 12, Amy Sea Dog Bright Light Mission with George Wilson Hunt. It's from the Military Tales channel over on YouTube.
Right.
And it's a really powerful firsthand account. Gives you a real sense of the intensity of these missions and, you know, their lasting impact.
Okay, maybe let's just quickly set the scene. A bright light mission back then in Vietnam. What exactly was that?
Well, essentially, it was a high-stakes rescue op. Super dangerous. The goal was recovering downed Allied personnel, usually pilots, aircrew from deep inside enemy territory.
Going into the thick of it specifically to bring someone back, the pressure must have been immense.
Unbelievable pressure. And the story we're digging into from this episode, it centers on two main people. First is George Wilson Hunt. He led the team on this specific, very tough, bright light mission.
Okay.
And the second is Steve Moore. He's the nephew of the pilot Hunt's team is trying to rescue, an A-1 Skyraider pilot.
And the incredible part is their connection didn't even start until, what, almost 40 years after the mission?
That's right. It came about because Steve was researching his uncle's military history. Oh, and MECVA, we should mention, that was the highly classified special ops unit Hunt was part of. Very secretive stuff.
Got it. So the episode lays out the initial situation. This A1 pilot, first strafing run, gets hit hard by enemy fire coming from the mountaintops.
Yeah, a really bad spot to be in. Mountainous terrain is tough anyway, but the sheer volume of fire made any rescue attempt incredibly risky right from the start.
And there was more going on too, right? The episode mentioned another friendly team was in deep trouble nearby.
Exactly. They were apparently close to being overrun before they managed to get extracted, so the whole area was just extremely hot.
And this wasn't even the first attempt to reach the downed pilot. The Military Tales episode mentions another team tried.
Correct. A different bright light team went in first. But the resistance was just too heavy. They were forced out.
Which really underscores the danger Hunt's team was heading into.
Absolutely. So Hunt's team gets the call, partly because they had this reputation for mountain operations, mountain yard expertise, they called it.
Okay.
And Hunt had his radio operator, Bill Chank. Interestingly, Chank wasn't like a formally trained RTO, but Hunt trusted him, knew he was dependable under fire.
So they get the call, but getting to the crash site itself was a huge problem. The episode describes how rappelling straight down wasn't an option.
No, the trees around the crash site were badly burned from the impact and fire. Trying to rappel through that, well, it's just too dangerous. The ropes wouldn't hold or they'd get snagged.
So plan B, they had to improvise.
They did. And this is where you really see their adaptability. Hunt explains in the episode they decided to rappel down onto some sandbars by a stream, but on the other side of the mountain.
The other side. So they had to then cross the river.
Cross the river, and then make a difficult climb up the mountain to get to the crash site location.
Wow. Talk about taking the hard route.
Definitely not easy. And as if that wasn't enough, Hunt recounts how during that climb up, they stumbled across an NVA encampment.
Oh man, you can just imagine the tension. Hearts must have been pounding.
For sure. Hunt says in the episode that Bill Jank, his radio guy, was understandably pretty
I
alarmed.
bet.
But Hunt, just cool as anything apparently, just told him, keep moving. Focus on the objective, right? Get to the pilot.
And when they finally got there, the crash site, the episode paints a picture of just complete devastation.
Utter destruction. And their immediate priority, Hunt stresses, was to find the pilot's body. That was job number one.
But there was a backup plan if they couldn't find him.
Yes, a crucial secondary objective.
Hey.
If they couldn't recover the body, they were tasked to find and collect specific, numbered pieces of the aircraft wreckage. Small enough pieces they could carry out in their rucksacks.
Why the numbers?
Those numbers were vital, absolutely critical for the military to officially identify the aircraft and account for it. They did find something significant, though. A charred helmet.
A helmet. Wow. That's sobering.
Very. And you can really hear the urgency in Hunt's voice in the episode when he talks about this part. They knew enemy forces were closing in fast.
So it became a race.
A flat-out race against the NVA to get to a suitable clearing, an LZ, where a helicopter could potentially get them out.
And Hunt had to basically make an LZ.
Pretty much. The episode details how he used detonation cord and C4 explosives to blast away some tall trees that were blocking the clearing, making it too dangerous for a chopper to land or hover properly.
Resourceful doesn't even begin to cover it. Quick thinking under fire.
Absolutely essential skills for SOG teams. Mm-hmm. But then, the air support they got. It sounds almost unbelievable.
Yeah, the episode says basically every flyable plane in that whole sector came to help them out.
Converged on their position.
Yeah.
Just imagine the sky filled with friendly aircraft laying down suppressive fire. It really shows the commitment, you know, leave no one behind.
And it was needed because the NVA were right there.
They were. The episode mentions the NVA had actually found and overrun the spot on the mountaintop where Hunt's team had initially hidden their gear. They were that close.
So the air support coordinator, Lyndon Gill, calls in the big guns.
All of it. The full might.
Yeah.
But here's a twist. The episode highlights the final go-ahead, the permission to basically unleash hell on the NVA positions.
It didn't come from Hunt.
No, it came from Bill Jenk, the radio operator, on his very first mission.
What?
Yeah, Jenk gave the okay over the radio. Hunt himself says in the interview he was pretty surprised.
I can imagine. First mission, under that kind of pressure.
But it worked. That massive wave of air support pushed the NVA back just enough, suppressed them long enough for the extraction helicopters to get in.
And how did they get pulled out? It wasn't a landing, right?
No, it was too hot. They used what they called strengths, basically strong harnesses attached to wire rigs or ropes dropped from the choppers. A precarious way out, but effective.
And they brought out the items they'd recovered, the aircraft parts, the helmet.
Everything they'd managed to gather,
yeah.
Turned it all in. The episode really conveys the intensity right up to the moment they were lifted out.
Okay, so the mission ends, but the story is far from over. Fast forward almost 40 years. 40 years where George Hunt carried this weight, right? Wondering.
Yeah, wondering if what they recovered was enough. Enough to identify the pilot, enough to give the family some kind of answer, some closure. It clearly stayed with him.
That sense of responsibility is powerful.
It really is. And then, decades later, this connection finally happens. And it's almost by chance, driven by the pilot's nephew, Steve Moore.
Right, Stitt was researching his uncle's service, and he found something online.
He did. An online newspaper archive. He found an article from a Pennsylvania newspaper. Turns out the pilot's father was a Penn State alum. And this article listed Penn State alumni who had died in Vietnam.
Wow. The power of digital archives connecting dots decades later.
It's incredible, isn't it? Technology bridging that gap. So Steve finds the article, sees his uncle's name, and manages to track down the pilot's sister living out in Montana.
And that started the ball rolling within the family.
Exactly. The sister calls her brother, the pilot's brother, who then contacts Steve. And the brother, he actually had some memories of the incident involving his father's plane.
Wait, his father was also involved? Or he meant his brother?
Ah, sorry, I should clarify based on the outline. It was the pilot's brother recalling the pilot's incident. His own brother. He remembered details passed down, maybe from official notifications at the time. As he and Steve talked, comparing notes, it all clicked. They confirmed it was indeed his brother, Steve's uncle.
That must have been a profound moment for the brother.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then came the phone call. The pilot's brother connects with George Wilson Hunt, the man who led the team that went in.
Imagine getting that call after 40 years, or making it.
The emotion must have been overwhelming on both ends. For the brother, hearing directly from someone who was there, near his brother at the end, Hunt said the brother was deeply affected.
I can only imagine it's not just history anymore. It's a direct human link to that moment.
It provides a kind of proximity, a tangible connection that reports and documents just can't offer.
So after that call, things moved forward.
They did. Hunt and the Special Operations Association, the SOA, invited the pilot's family to their annual reunion, which was happening in Las Vegas that October.
That's a significant gesture, opening their community like that.
It speaks volumes about the brotherhood, the shared understanding within that community. So the family goes. The pilot's sisters, his nieces, they all go to Vegas.
And they finally meet George Hunt face to face.
Yes. The episode implies it was incredibly emotional for everyone. A real moment of connection, sharing stories, Hunt being able to tell them what he saw, what they tried to do. It offered a profound sense of closure.
Closure is such a complex word, but it feels right here, filling in blanks, maybe.
Exactly. Understanding more of the story, even the difficult parts. And the connection didn't stop there, which is also quite remarkable.
There was another meeting.
Completely unexpected. Hunt was at an event at the Tennessee Museum, something related to A1 Sky Raiders, funnily enough.
No way.
Yes. And who walks in? the pilot's brother. Neither knew the other would be there.
That's incredible serendipity.
It really seems like it. And it just cemented this bond that had formed. Hunt mentions the brother now considers him family, like truly part of their family now.
From a brutal mission born from tragedy to family, that's quite a journey.
It really highlights our deep need for connection, for understanding, even across decades and difficult circumstances.
So let's sort of pull back and think about the main takeaways from this deep dive, looking at the story from episode 12. First, obviously, is the sheer bravery and dedication.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
The risks those Bright Light teams took going into incredibly hostile territory for their comrades. It's extraordinary.
And it also really underscores the lasting impact these events have, right? Not just on the soldiers, but on the families for generations sometimes.
Absolutely. The ripples spread far beyond the battlefield. And this story is also a fantastic example of how research, and especially modern tech like online archives, can bring these hidden stories to light.
Yeah, that newspaper article was the key, wasn't it? Without that digital access, this connection might never have been made.
It's unlikely, or at least much harder. It really speaks to the power of preserving and sharing history.
And finally, maybe the most powerful point is these unexpected bonds. The way shared experience, even a traumatic one viewed from different sides initially, can forge incredibly strong connections and offer that sense of closure years down the line.
That human element, the need to connect, to understand, to remember. It's fundamental. This story brings it all together.
It really does. This whole account from episode 12, tracing the journey from that dangerous mission in Vietnam to this incredibly meaningful reunion so many years later, it's quite something.
It is.
It really makes you think about that enduring human need, doesn't it? The need for connection, for remembering, for seeking truth, even when it's hard. And maybe it makes you wonder what other stories are out there waiting for the right moment, the right connection to finally come full circle.